2 Kings chapter 2. You know, as a pastor, as a preacher, sometimes we have to fight to keep from preaching in about the same people in the same book of the Bible, because some of them just feed us so much, but we want to give you a mixture of the Bible, and God's got a plan to put it all together. But going here in 2 Kings, chapter 1 Kings and 2 Kings is a very comfortable place for me to preach from, because I love studying about Elijah and Elisha. And there's some neat things about those two prophets. One of the things is, we'll get into, but there were Elisha, as we count them, Elijah, he had 14 different miracles that are written down in scriptures. In the scripture, and he performed one way or another. I know God, it was God's power, God's prophecy and all that, but it was the fact that God used Elijah to perform 14 different miracles. I mean, think about what Elijah did. He was the one that called down fire from heaven and burned up the offering on the altar there on Mount Carmel. He did not send down the fire. He called it down and God answered. And don't take it wrong, because I'm not giving credit to any man for anything God does. But I do like the fact that God can use a man. God can use a woman. God can use people. And that's what we need to understand, is these men, Elijah and Elisha and all the others in the scriptures, they're just like you and I with the flesh problems. Hey, they have had health problems. They had hindrances. They had outside influences getting in their way. They had all kinds of things that bothered them, that hindered them. Yet God was able to use them. But there was one reason God was able to use them. They refused to quit. Amen. And if you refuse to quit, God will use you. And I will tell you, as a child, I was very hard-headed. I'm hard-headed now, but as a child, the problem was I was hard-headed about the wrong things. My parents didn't want me to do this. Don't get in that cookie jar. Well, I had two cookies before they could get it out of their mouth, just about. But the truth is, I was hard-headed. And it cost me. There's a price coming with that when you're disobedient. But when you turn that hard-headedness and aim it in the direction that Jesus wants you to go, God will bless in a mighty way. I want you to think about Noah for a minute. I want you to think about how much determination it took to build that ark. And I'm not talking about a boat that you're going to see anywhere close to land. This was a huge, monstrous boat. 450 feet long. I think it was about 45 feet wide. And it was 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. It's three stories high. And this was built when? Right around 4,000 years ago, thereabouts. Long before Black and Decker, or long before any of those popular tools. The thing is, he did it. Why did he do it? It took him over 100 years, him and his boys. Now, I kind of think he was smart about it. I think maybe he even hired some day laborers. It'd give him more people to preach to, because he was a preacher of righteousness, what the Bible said. But I want you to think, for 100 years, he was building on that boat, and he never quit. What happens if Noah quits? What happens to his family? They drown just like the rest of the people do. What happens?
happens if you quit or I quit? What happens to our family? So I want you to understand, these people in the Bible, a lot of them have the same issues that you and I have, but the one thing that you'll see in a lot of them, like Elijah and Elisha and people like Daniel and all those guys, they refuse to quit. Some of them messed up like David did and Moses did and some of those things, but they never quit. Like I said a while ago, you can't keep a good man down.
Well, here we're going to study a little bit about what took place in Elijah's life and where he met Elisha. And he met Elisha a little back in chapter 19. Well, let's go there first. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. I want to read just a few verses here. We'll bring out a lesson here is, look at verse 1 in chapter 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19. And it says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah." And I want you to look at this last phrase here. "And left his servant there." Where did he leave his servant? He left his servant behind. Now go to 2 Kings chapter 2. That, by the way, this servant here in chapter 19 is not Elisha. Okay? If you read on through chapter 19, he meets Elisha at the end of chapter 19. But look at what it says in 2 Kings chapter 2. And it says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And I like this guy, Elisha. And he says, "And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." Now, how these sons of the prophets, they were actually preacher boys. They were preachers in training, okay? How they knew that Elijah was going up to heaven that day, I don't know. But they all knew it. God gives certain people insight sometimes, and we need to make sure that we don't jeopardize that. But anyway, look at verse 4, and it says, "And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it, hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. So they too went over to on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall so be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold on his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah and that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for being so good to us. And Lord, our desire is to hear from you tonight. Lord, we need something special from the Word of God and from the Spirit of God. Lord, thank you for this blessed book. And Lord, once again, keep the preacher in your will and out of your way. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. If you look at this particular passage, I like these two servants in the fact that those two servants represent something. That first servant that stayed behind, he did exactly like Elijah was telling Elisha to do. But what happened was Elijah was running for his life. He was scared. And there are a lot of people in this world, when something happens to the preacher, when the preacher has a problem, whether he's having a health issue, whether the government doesn't like him, whether he's having a family issue, a lot of times they want to bail on him. And that's when the preacher needs people more than ever. You see, I want you to know, I'm not just a preacher. I want to be your friend. I'm your brother in Christ. And we need to work together to make a difference in Bartow and in the surrounding areas here in Polk County. And we can't do that unless we work together. And you know as well as I do, I used to like to watch the old Westerns, still do. I've got some of I've got an antenna and it picks up some really good Westerns. And Sharon's not as excited about it as I am, but the truth is, I like watching those Westerns. And you know one of the things that you always see them doing? They shoot for the Indian chief. Or they shoot for the leader, the cavalry leader, or whoever. Why? Because if you hit the lead guy, a lot of times the sheep are going to scatter. And so I want you to understand there's some things here. Elijah is trying, he's going through a tough time spiritually because he is spent. He's been on Mount Carmel. He's been praying. He's been begging. He's spent all day. And all these things took place. And he told his servant, says, the servant stayed behind. But what happened to Elisha? I like that Elisha because he had that bulldog tenacity. He just latched on to the preacher man and he was not going to let go. He was going to be there. He said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth. He said, as long as you're drawing a breath and I can see you, I'm not getting anywhere away from you. We're going to be joined at the hip just about. Why? Because he knew that's where the blessings are. It bothers me. I'm going to tell you, it bothers me for people sometimes in the fact that they don't understand if they attack verbally a preacher. That's a dangerous thing. If you don't like me, that's fine. I know I rub some people the wrong way. Especially if you don't like my president. Amen. But anyway, we won't go there. But
the truth is, my concern is that if you attack me, it's not so much that I'm going to do anything to you, but I have a God that watches out for me. And David himself, when Saul was attacking David, David himself said, "Can a man touch the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David was scared to death, so much so that even though Saul was trying to kill him, David never accused the King Saul. Anytime he got a chance, he would ask Saul, "What have I done? Why are you mad at me? Why are you trying to kill me?" But David never, never verbally attacked King Saul. And King Saul had the anointing of the Lord on him just like David did. And to be a preacher, a man of God, you've got to have God's anointing. There's nothing special about this guy except Jesus, okay? It's all about him. And my concern is that Elijah understood, and he was going through a tough time. And if you read on down in chapter 19 where we read about the servant staying behind, you'll see that he goes into a pity party. And sometimes at one point God asks him, "What are you doing here?" I think maybe if the servant had stayed there and done what he was supposed to do and keep the preacher encouraged, maybe Elijah doesn't get discouraged. But then there's that guy, Elisha. And Elisha, he says, "I'm not going to leave him. I'm not going to go anywhere. And I'm going to stay with him as long as I can. I've got some preacher friends like that. I've got some in heaven today. I think about Dr. Gary Herring. Dr. Herring was one of my best friends. When I was in Kansas City, I'd always call him. He had so much wisdom. It just came out accidentally most of the time because he was just so close to the Lord. And I hated losing him because I lost somebody that I really leaned on and got counsel from. But I will tell you, I stayed close to him as long as I could, because he represented what I wanted to be, a man of God, standing right, living right, doing it right, and that's what I want you to understand. But there are times when we all struggle. Not just you, but me. Not just me, but my wife. We all have the problems. We all have issues. And what we want to do is to rally around one another and love one another and pray for one another. The greatest value, I'm going to tell you, the greatest value of a church is the fact that you've got people that love you and pray for you.
That's right. Amen.
They're going to pray for your loved ones to get saved. They're going to pray for you when you're sick. They're going to pray for you when they don't see you at church. They're going to pray for you no matter what. And that's what we need. We need people like that that are going to rally around one another and pray for one another. Hey, the devil's shooting at us. Every time you set foot in the doors or even attempt, even when it crosses your mind, "I need to be in church tonight. I need to go to church this morning." The devil's going to fight you. He's going to fight you. He does not want you here.
But Elisha had that spirit, that bulldog tenacity, that hard-headedness. I think about some things when I was a boy that I used to do. My brother and I were having a fight one time. He was a little smaller than I was. He was about 5 years younger. But he hits me and he'll run or throw something at you and he'll run and things like that. And I was chasing him down. I was probably 13, 14 years old. And we were outside. My little brother ran inside the house before me, and my grandmother locked the door. She was at the house and she locked the door. I couldn't get in.
I was mad. Oh, good grief, I was mad. I said, well, I'm going to make as much racket as I can. So I grabbed a rake, and I took that rake handle, and I was going to bang the door. Except the rake handle went through the door. Good grief. I'm going to tell you, did I regret it? To this day, I regret it.
I think that's enough said. That's bringing back too many bad memories anyway. But the truth is, we have a hard head. And I want you to know, hey, we need to have that hard-headedness. We need to have that determination focused on Jesus to stay close to Him, to stay where He wants us to stay. And we all have a tendency to be like that first servant and to hang back. But that's not where we need to be. What happened to Elisha? Well, he saw. Well, let's look at that passage there, Second Kings chapter 2. I want to point out something here. And it came to pass, verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He said, I want twice what you got. Now, look at what the verse 10 is, and I want you to stay with me with this, because there's a something important here. And it says, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Now, did Elisha really ask a hard thing? I can see me standing there, and I'm standing there, and I'm Elisha, and Elijah's saying, you've asked a hard thing. I just kind of shrugged my head a little bit. Man, I ain't asking this of you. You can't do it anyway. He wasn't asking for the double portion from Elijah. He was asking for the double portion from God. And God was the only one that could give it to him. Amen. I want to tell you something. There be people that you talk to and say, this is what I'm praying for. And they're going to tell you, you're asking for a hard thing. But if you go to Genesis chapter 18, you're going to find a place there where it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? You can't ask too much of Jesus. He can do it all. Elijah's sitting there, and I can see Elisha now. I ain't asking you. Hey, it ain't you I want this from. You can't do it anyway. But what happened? Because he stayed with the man of God right up till the end. What happened was, we've got a record of 14 miracles that Elijah performed in the scriptures. You know how many we've got in the scriptures? Well, let's go over to 2 Kings chapter 13. I don't want to spoil it. 2 Kings chapter 13. At this time, 2 Kings chapter 13, Elisha has performed 27 miracles. Stay with me. But look at verse 20. And it says, and Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. There's number 28. two times, double portion, twice as many miracles as you saw. Hey, God took care of it. He did exactly what Elisha asked for. But I want you to, I like this miracle in the fact that, hey, there was death in that tomb, just like in the tomb of Jesus. But it wasn't death long. Up from the grave he arose. Amen?
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. This is something special. We need to realize that it wasn't Elisha performing all these miracles. How could his bones produce a miracle? It was the God of Elisha that performed these miracles. It was the God of Elijah that performed all the miracles. And I want you to know something. It's our God, your God, and my God. If you're saved, if you're born again, he will do things for you. And a lot of times we just simply don't get what we ask for because a lot of times we quit. We quit asking. Or maybe we just don't ask at all. But don't be like that first servant. Don't quit on the man of God. Don't quit on God. You stay with him. You be where you need to be. God will bless you. What you're throwing away when you quit is you're throwing away God's blessings. You're throwing away the answers to the prayers that you've been praying. You realize in Daniel, the Bible says that Daniel was praying for 21 days, for 3 weeks, for an answer to prayer. Now you figure, man, if anybody's going to get through to God, it's going to be Daniel. But I want you to know, 3 weeks Daniel prayed and he didn't understand why he hadn't got an answer. But you know what he didn't do? He did not quit. And God answered his prayer. Whatever you're praying for, you make sure it's God's will and you pray for it and just stick with it. You just use that bulldog tenacity and grab hold of the will of God and you just stay there. And God will use you. People are amazed that this church is here 5 years later after we started. Not many churches and I like this one, Independent Baptist Church, preaching the King James Bible, knocking doors, singing hymns. Not many of them last here very long. But you know why we're still here? There's a God in heaven, and he never told me to quit.
Amen.
So guess what? I'm not too smart, but I'm smart enough not to quit if he tells me not to quit.
Amen.
What if we had quit last year? I want to share this with you. Do you know how many people have praised God for there being an independent Baptist church in the Kingdom Hall? There are preachers talking about it. You heard Brother Knickerbocker last week talking about, I've shared that with a bunch of preachers, and they just shake their head, can't believe it. People are talking about it, not because of me, not because of you, it's because of God and the fact that we didn't quit. If we quit, what else do we throw away? If we had quit, maybe God doesn't get the glory for putting a church in this building. Maybe they still preach the cults doctrine. Maybe they still blaspheme Jesus and say he was a created being, nothing special. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You'll never hear that while we're here.
Amen.
It's all about Jesus. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one we're going to answer to. He's the one that keeps our heart beating. He's the one that answers our prayers. He's the one that has eternal life.
Amen.
He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What do you think's going on with the people that were in here before? It breaks my heart. They were good people. They're good people. They're sincere people. They're just sincerely deceived. And that's what we need to try to do. When you got somebody that you're witnessing to, don't quit. When you got somebody, the devil will get on your shoulder and he'll say, you're wasting your time. He'll say, you really think God's going to do that? The devil's the one that'll tell you, you've asked a hard thing. God will never say that. But I want you to understand, you stay close to God. You don't quit. You keep pressing on. It's hard sometimes coming to church. It is. There are times we have physical problems. There are times we have issues. There are times when we have personal issues. But keep plugging on. I'm going to share this. I was a doctor, had a young boy, 16-year-old boy, David. He was going to go door knocking with me, and we were scheduled to go see one of the ladies at church, asked us to go visit a man across the street from her that had cancer. And I'm going to tell you, that I guess it was a Monday night. That Monday night, my back was, it was like somebody was putting an iron on it, a hot iron. I mean, it just hurt. I couldn't hardly walk. But I had two reasons to go. This man's dying of cancer. And I had a 16-year-old soul winning partner going with me. So I just made my mind up. We're going. I'm going to go pick up David. We're going to go. We went to the house, knocked on the door. I had my little New Testament in my back pocket where I normally keep it. And I tried to go through the plan of salvation with Bobby. Bobby was the man with cancer. And he said, I can't see that little Bible. And he called for his wife and said, honey, go get my big Bible. Now, I want to tell you something. That's cool. Somebody you're trying to lead to Christ, he calls for his wife to go get his big, large print Bible so he can see what you're saying. That's when you know he's really interested. And I got to lead Bobby to Christ right there in front of David, a 16-year-old boy. And Bobby died several months later. And I'll get to see him again one day because he's in heaven. What happens if I don't press on? What happens if I quit? God had a divine appointment for me and David to meet Bobby that night.
Amen.
And because of that, Bobby's in heaven.
Amen.
And that's how important it is sometimes. Don't let the devil talk you into quitting. That's the most important thing. Because God's got a plan for you. God's got a task for you. He's got something he wants to use you to do. But he still gives us a choice. And I want to be just like Elisha. As the Lord liveth and as you live, I'm not going to leave you. And that's my determination to Jesus. As long as he's alive, and hey, I know he is. Bottom line is, I'm going to keep at it. And I want you to do the same thing. Say the same thing. Determine in your heart the same thing. Don't quit. Don't quit. You see people all the time falling by the wayside. But don't quit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. Let the name of Jesus be glorified in the invitation. Lord, we know that there are a lot of people around us that'll quit. There are churches, even this church that I heard about in Riverview, quit. Closed doors. The church died. But Lord, I thank you for the ones that are starting churches, the ones that are keeping them together and keeping them going and keeping them focused on Jesus. Lord, help us not to quit on you. As individuals, as a church, as a pastor, Lord, help keep us pressing on. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.